As high school seniors know, April is the cruelest month. Thin envelopes arrive along with fat ones, and even worse, sometimes comes notification that your very favorite college might let you in. Maybe. Later. Waitlists are a way for schools to hedge their bets, and in this economic climate, the lists are longer than ever. But what are the costs and risks? Is it better to wait it out or go to Plan B? If you or your child is on a waiting list, call and tell us how you're playing the waitlist game. 800-989-8255 is the phone number. The email address is talk@npr.org, and you can join the conversation on our website. Go to npr.org, click on Talk of the Nation. Steve and Isaac Yoder jointly write the Yoder and Son column for the Wall Street Journal, where they discuss money issues from parent and teen perspectives. Their most recent column, College Waiting List, The Torture Continues, covers college admissions limbo. Isaac just got word that he'd been waitlisted by his top school. They join us now from member station KQ. QED in San Francisco. Nice to have you on the program today.
Hi, Neil. It's nice to be here.
And Isaac, how did you get the word?
Well, after a long process of narrowing down my colleges and waiting for months on end to get the notifications back, I got a nondescript email in my inbox from my top college saying I was waitlisted.
Saying you were waitlisted, and did it give you any other information?
It kind of gave me some information on what I could do to get off the waitlist. But besides that, there was not much.
Who to bribe, that sort of thing?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. In the meantime, you'd been getting, I understand, both a thick and thin envelopes from other colleges.
Yeah.
And the one that you picked out to be your top college, I mean, presumably, I read in your column, there are other very nice colleges that you would like to go to that you've already been accepted to.
Yeah. Well, pretty much what I'm looking for in college is an academically rigorous liberal arts college with small class sizes and accessible professors and, you know, like a culture of political activism and stuff like that. So this college, along with many other colleges, fit this description, but this college kind of stood out. When I visited, what really stood out to me was that the students, they seemed far more committed to, like, the life of the mind than any other campus I've visited. So basically, it felt more at home. I felt more at home there than at any other school I visited. So I was pretty bummed to not have that as one of my options.
And Steve, that sounds, he still got a chance. Isaac still has a chance to get into the school he obviously still wants to go to, but this has some implications, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's a big question as to how big that chance is. And in the column that we wrote, I talked about the fat envelopes of acceptance and the thin envelopes of doom. And this to me was sort of the worst of all, was the wait listing, because it to me, I have two issues. One is I worry that it skews that particular college in the student's mind. It's sort of like being left on the side of the dance floor, yeah, and waiting for someone to take your hand. And the other thing is I was really hoping for some closure this month. This has been a long and winding road for the past year of college visits and applications and filling out those aggravating financial aid forms that you're pretty sure aren't going to yield very much. And so by the end of this month, I was kind of looking forward to some closure. And I realized these waiting lists are a necessary evil because kids these days apply to a lot of schools. There's economic uncertainty. And so the colleges need to have this pool of applicants in reserve. But for me, if I am selfish, I think maybe Isaac ought to count his blessings and dance with one of the ones that brung him. He's gotten into some very good colleges, including some that we really didn't expect him to get into.
In the meantime, though, you talked about those financial application forms. As I understand it, if you're accepted off the wait list, they've probably given away all their financial aid money already.
That may be true, although we're hearing contrary things about that. In fact, some of our readers have written in to say, hang in there, Isaac, stay on that wait list. My daughter stayed on the wait list, and in fact, she got some financial aid that we weren't expecting. And so that's still sort of up in the air.
Is this a torture for you, Isaac?
I don't really think of it as much torture as my dad thinks. I'm not really against being on the wait list. In fact, it's a lot better than getting an outright rejection letter. It feels a lot better because it's more like they're saying that you're qualified. You're a qualified student, but, you know, we're a small school and we don't really have that much space, so we can't really let you in at this time. And it also, it kind of gives a second chance to students who have their mind set on having that school as an option. It gives them another chance to show that they're an ideal candidate and that they really want to go there.
And really want to go there. But if you get accepted, is there any impression that you will be seen as some sort of, you know, second-class citizen there?
I'm not really sure. I don't know if they look down on people who get off the wait list.
You know, I think that's a great question. And in my mind, I would tend to worry about it. We got one letter from an academic admissions director saying, don't worry about that, because the only time you're going to see these admissions people is right now. And once you get into college, you're not going to see them for 4 years. You're going to see professors and students, and no one's going to remember which particular tranche you came in on.
And as somebody we talked to, a more recent college graduate than me, I never went to college, but anyway, that said, as soon as you get to college, you realize that everybody's a second-class citizen. So, here's an email. By the way, if you're on the wait list, how are you playing the wait list game? Give us a call at 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Here's an email from Marcia in Sugar Grove in North Carolina. We went ahead with Plan B mainly because Plan B offered a scholarship, and we figured waitlist college would not have any scholarship money left. And, well, that's an issue for a lot of people. Your school, Isaac, may be different, but nevertheless, a lot of schools give away those precious dollars to the first group of students they accept.
Yeah, this is where it gets tricky, because even if I do get accepted and get off the waitlist, I won't necessarily accept, because once I get off the wait list, I'll be last in line for housing, last in line for picking classes I want to take, and more than likely, like you said, there will be no financial aid. So even if I do get off the wait list, it'll still be another tough decision.
And in the meantime, what can you do for him, Stephen? Can you see if anybody's got incriminating pictures of the dean?
Oh, we have those for sure. Actually, what I can do now is basically support Isaac. He already has started a series of things that he can talk about better than I. What have you been doing here, Isaac?
Well, I've been told to write a personal letter to the dean of admissions, which I'm working on right now, to contact people who are connected to the school and to send updated information, like what you've been up to since your application, midterm
the
grades.
The Pulitzer Prize they didn't find out about
exactly.
Yet.
Yeah. Like midterm grades, any new extracurricular activities. So pretty much just show them that you're still interested and that you are a great candidate for them, and you would go there if accepted.
And in the meantime, of course, you're saying the same thing to a bunch of other schools.
Essentially, that's where things do get tricky, and we are just down to a few. And again, that's where my instincts would say, look, let's just pick from the ones that we have a real option for. One thing that we have learned, though, from some admissions directors is that the wait list in some places isn't a rank necessarily, that there's a number of people, and so that leaves open a lot of room for lobbying, apparently.
Mm. So if you knew the right people, you could make it make a difference.
Maybe.
Another issue, as you think about this, Isaac, is isn't there a deadline of sorts, May 1st?
Yeah, well, I have to get the money in for another school by May 1st, because they tell me if I get off the wait list after May 1st once they find out who has accepted for them. So I have to pick my second choice and give them the money, so I have a slot in their class of 2013.
So how much money is that if you reserve a place in one of the schools that has accepted you?
Well, I don't know, a couple hundred dollars?
I think it's $300 to $500 or so. You know, I can't say that I've actually checked it out.
Not a trifling sum, but not all the money in the world either. And if you then later got into the college of your choice, you could still go back and say, well, never mind. That's a couple of textbooks in the long run. It's just a drop in the bucket.
That's right, although psychologically I wonder about that. I wonder if it isn't, again, just better to make a choice among the really fabulous choices that we've got. But this is where Isaac and I don't necessarily agree.
Why do you want to hang on for this particular school, Isaac?
Well, it really stood apart from me when I stood apart from the rest of the schools that I've visited. Like I said before, it just seemed far more, the students seemed far more intellectually immersed than anywhere else I've been, and I just felt far more at home. So I want to keep it on my top, keep it open as an option.
And this can drag on. If May 1st is that deadline, nevertheless, and you may commit to another school, and there have been students known to commit to more than one school, frowned upon but not illegal. Nevertheless, if later on down the road, in July, if this top school said, we found a place for you, would you switch that late?
Well, it would get very tricky right there, because I would have I would have the worst, probably the classes that other kids don't want. There'd be no housing, no financial aid. It would be a very tough decision because it'd be between that, my top school with none of that, versus another great school that's giving me money and I could have first pick of classes and housing. So mm-hmm. It would be a very tough choice.
Uh-huh. This letter that you're writing, this is going to be an important letter.
Yeah, I'm planning on handwriting it and sending it directly to the Dean of Admissions, making it very personal.
With a wax seal.
And on the other hand, you want to say how interested you are in going to the school. On the other hand, you don't want to grovel.
Yeah, that's right. It does get tricky there.
And are you going to edit this letter for him?
He hasn't let me edit anything that he's sent in. He's written his essays for his college applications and for his general application, and really I may see the last versions or I may not, but he's pretty much taken that on his own.
We're talking with Stephen Yoder and Isaac Yoder, his son. He has been waitlisted for his favorite college, his top choice. If that's your situation, give us a call, 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And this is Aneli. Aneli, am I pronouncing that right?
Aneli.
Aneli from Sunnyvale, California.
Yes.
Go ahead, please.
I'm a senior in high school and I've been waitlisted. But I've decided to not even consider that school. But they have an option sorry, I'm listening to the radio and I can hear it right now.
It's very disturbing, so turn it off.
Sorry.
That's okay. What's the top school that you've been waitlisted by since you're relatively anonymous here on the radio?
Skidmore, but they have an option where if it's your top choice, you can tell them and they'll put you higher on the wait list and they'll actually like try to get you in.
Uh-huh. And are you going to do that?
No, I'm going to go with a different school.
And what's that other school?
Well, I'm not sure yet.
Ah, and how many did you apply to in the first place?
Seven.
Seven, and you got into how many?
Four.
Four, so...
And I was waitlisted at one.
And waitlisted at one. So you have some choices, and Skidmore is obviously a very good school, but there are probably those other four include some good schools, too.
Mm-hmm.
Well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go now to, this is Winnie. Winnie with us from Columbus, Ohio. Winnie, are you there?
Huh? What?
Are you there? You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
No, this is actually Ellen from Jackson, Michigan.
Oh, hi, Ellen. Go ahead, please.
I got waitlisted on one of the schools that I was really interested in. And now that I'm going to community college, they keep sending me stuff.
They keep sending, because they want you to reapply?
They actually just keep sending me stuff because they want me to come to their school. But then when I try, like, I really want to be in their school, they keep telling me, well, you know, there's a lot of things you have to work out before we can let you come in and everything. So I don't really know what to do.
Community college, though, is an option for you. It's obviously a lot less expensive.
Yeah.
And you can generally live at home and do that, too.
Right. So, I mean, you know, and the offers they're giving me aren't really that good.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm wasting it. If I go to the community college, I can save a lot of money. But if I go to the school, I mean, maybe I'll get a lot of grants. I just don't know. It's so uncertain. So what am I supposed to do?
I don't know what the answer is, but obviously these are enormously high stakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that Isaac? You must feel for her in a way. Or maybe not. Winnie, thanks very much.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Let's see if we can go to San Francisco, and let's go to Jen, and Jen's on the line.
Hi.
Hi, Jen. How are you?
I'm doing good. Thanks so much for taking my call.
And are you on the waiting list?
Yeah, well, actually, my situation is I'm applying to medical school, which is similar but different in some ways. It's been going on. I started applying in July of last year, and now I've gotten into one school. I'm waitlisted at one school. And I just, out of the blue, got an interview invitation last week. So it's kind of you think you're done, and then it's been dragging on and dragging on. And I could stay waitlisted up until the day that the school that I'm accepted to starts.
So you could jump in even that late. But again, does that cost you registration in classes, housing, that sort of thing?
Yeah, all of that kind of stuff. Like you, especially first, because I have to find an apartment. I have to move my entire life. I've been out of undergrad for years. So it's kind of like I have a whole life to pick up and move. So to a certain point, you know, it's kind of have to just say enough is enough. But it also it's tough to say no to some of these schools when it makes, you know, it's like it's your whole life you're facing, and graduate school costs so much money, you know.
Yeah, and you're going to be paying it off for 100 years, too.
Yeah, that as well.
Okay. Good luck to you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And here's an email we have from Sean in Portland, Oregon. My first 2 years after graduating from Wake Forest, I worked for the university as an admissions counselor. I recruited, interviewed, and evaluated applications for admission. Waitlists are an essential thing for smaller schools, especially ones that require / guarantee housing during freshman year. Students that were waitlisted were required to send back a form stating their continued interest in possibly attending. I was a champion for those students on the waitlist. My hypothesis was that students were accepted off the waitlist wound up doing as well, if not better, than the average student and more valuable for the university. First, these students really wanted to be at Wake. Second, there is something to prove factor. And, that's an element, too. And as I understand it, from meeting other things, Stephen Yoder, as soon as people say you really need to express interest in going to the school, about half of the people on the waitlist drop off at that point.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, something like that. So maybe Isaac has a pretty good shot.
Let's hope so.
Good luck to you, Isaac.
Thank you, Neil.
Appreciate your time today. Isaac Yoder and his dad, Stephen Yoder, Stephen is the chief of the Wall Street Journal San Francisco Bureau. Together, they write the Yoder and Son column at the Wall Street Journal, and they joined us today from the studios of our member station in San Francisco, KQED. Tomorrow on Talk of the Nation, it was Iowa last week, then this week Vermont became the fourth state in the Union to recognize gay marriage. From courts to state constitutions to legislatures, the gay marriage game plan from both camps. Join us tomorrow on Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.